Well, hey y'all, and welcome back to another episode of Faith and Friends. I sure hope you've had a great week, and I'm just really glad that today we get to spend some time together. Today we're hanging out with our friend Kelly Minter, and Kelly has a new devotional out. It's a 90-day devotional called The Blessed Life. And my gosh, you've probably heard this incredible woman of God speak before at a Lifeway event or done one of her Bible studies. She is an incredible speaker, author, writer, and musician, and I am so grateful that we got to spend quite a few moments with her today that were very deep, very quickly. Those are some of my favorite conversations where you just go in deep quickly with incredible people that are just walking in the Spirit. So I truly do pray, friend, that this conversation blesses you. All right, well, let's dive right in. Well, Miss Kelly, I am seriously so excited to have you here on Faith and Friends today. I have been just such a just such a student under your teaching for the past few years, from your studies to in-person events. And so to be able to talk to you today, I'm just really excited.
Oh, thank you. Well, that means so much to me. And I'm so excited to be here with you and everybody who's with us today.
I know, all you friends listening, this is going to be a great conversation as we talk about Miss Kelly's new devotional. It's a 90-day devotional called The Blessed Life, Through the Teachings and the Miracles of Jesus, which this is so important. And as we start this new year, I think this 90 days is exactly what we need. So please tell me why this, why the blessed life and why now?
Yeah. So I would say I started this whole journey. Well, first of all, I should stop and back up for a second. So the blessed life is a 90-day journey through the teachings and miracles of Jesus out of Matthew chapter 5-9. Mm. So that's kind of important because some of you will know that Jesus' famous Sermon on the Mount is covered in Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7.
Yes.
But then we tend to just keep that all by itself. But what we forget is that Matthew 8 and 9, Matthew includes 10 very strategically selected miracles of Jesus. So what Matthew does for us is he actually has the Sermon on the Mount combined with Jesus' very tangible, compassionate acts and miraculous acts. So he brings together the teachings and the actions of Jesus. And what happens for us is so often we just take the Sermon on the Mount or we just take the miracles of Jesus, but Matthew very strategically put them together. And so that's what I wanted to do in this devotional. So we could have both of those realities about Jesus. But this all started probably, I don't remember, 4 or 5 years ago, where the Lord just gripped my heart about the Sermon on the Mount. And I don't want to get ahead of our time together, but I don't know if some of you all are like me, but I kind of went around the Sermon on the Mount. And I grew up in church, but the sermon was sort of like disconnected. Either I knew bits and parts of it, like the Lord's Prayer, but didn't realize that was part of the sermon, or Jesus teaching on, you know, seeking first the kingdom and his righteousness and all these things will be added, but not realizing that was part of his sermon, or how he takes care of the birds and he dresses the flowers. And I knew that part and I love that part, but I didn't realize that was part of the sermon. Then there were scary parts about the sermon that like plucking out your eye if you sin, or you know, things like that. And then I didn't really understand how the sermon all fit together. It was a little confusing for me. Then, you layer all those things and it's like, okay, wait, so I just think I'll just go around it, you know, but the Lord a few years ago really put the sermon on my heart to really know and lean into. So I began to study it and I began to teach it at, some Cultivate events that I had. And then I realized that Matthew had also added these miracles.
Yeah.
So then I started studying that and teaching on that. And then after a few years of that, I thought, I think there's a book here. Mm. And then I sat down with my publisher and we were like, you know what? Maybe it's a devotional book. Mm. So that's my very long answer to a very simple question that you asked. But that's how I kind of got here.
No. I love that, because what's so beautiful is the Lord stirred it in your heart and then you were ministered to through his word. And then you were teaching his word. And then it wasn't like, oh, okay, it's time to write another book. Let's do it. What should we do it on? It's like, no, like this has been stirring on your heart and it has been in and through your life. And now you're like, hey, guess what I've learned? Look at this beautiful big picture of, you know, the Sermon on the Mount and these miracles and teachings and how it all goes together. And here's what he's placed on my heart to share with you. I think that is incredible. And now even that I have it open right now, looking at the beginning of five of the Beatitudes, just all of these things, how they go together. And it's some big and heavy stuff. And then you add the miracles to that. And we can't downplay this. And so I'm really grateful that as we start a new season, a new year, 2023, that we can have this as a resource to say, this is who he is. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And let's understand this in its original context, because that is key too, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely. Oh, the context is huge for us here. And I leaned pretty heavily into that because, you know, you'll sometimes hear teachers say, if we don't know what Jesus meant then, we're going to have a hard time understanding what he means for now, you know? So we want to know what he meant in the original context to the original audience so that we can best know what he means for us now today. And one of the things that really struck me is that the people that were listening to Jesus, in addition to his disciples at the Sermon on the Mount, it was the broken, it was the lame, the poor, the oppressed, the demon possessed. It was those who had tried everything this world had to offer. And Jesus was the last, you know, their last ditch effort at making sense of life. And, you know, we have to remember that the Jewish people of the time, Israel was under Roman occupation. They were not wealthy. They were not elite. They did not have true ownership of their own land. So Jesus is first announcing his kingdom. And like you mentioned, the Beatitudes, he is coming and he is using the very powerful word blessed upon this very broken group of people. And I think a lot of times we look at the Beatitudes, like blessed are those who are persecuted or those who mourn or those who seek after hunger and righteousness. And we think about them as a list of things that we're to go out and do. And while I don't think that some of the things are bad things to be doing, I don't think Jesus is giving us a list of things to do. I think he is redefining the people of God in his new kingdom. And what's encouraging, I think, for those who are with us today is that even if you are in a hard season, even if you are in a mourning season or in a longing for things to be set right season, the Lord brings blessing, not because those conditions are favorable in and of themselves, but because he is the one who infiltrates that and blesses in the middle of that. And he is with us and he works through that. So I was so excited to even just start the devotional on the Beatitudes because it redefines our perspective and it redefines even some of the suffering that we go through.
No, that's so good. Like the blessed life, I think if you look through the lens of the world, to be blessed would be to have more, to be the highest, to be the most successful, to drive the greatest car and have the kids with the, you know, A plus always on the report card, all these things that the world would define as your success. But really here, the Lord is saying through his son, Jesus, like, follow me. Like, this is the blessed life. And I was going through a Jennifer Rothschild's study of Amos, and she's like, you know, the good life is the God life. And I love that. And so I want to hear from Kelly as the blessed life. What does that mean for you in your own personal walk with the Lord to live blessed?
Yeah. Boy, that's a great question. You know, it's so funny. I just saw that there's a movie out called Hashtag Blessed.
And really?
Yeah. And it's so funny because when you look, you know, that's kind of a thing. You go to social media and it's like, okay, I got into the school of my dreams, or I just got the job of my dreams. I got promoted. I'm engaged. You know, my family is all coming to visit for the holidays or whatever it might be. And we might take a snapshot of that and say, hashtag blessed, right? And those things are not not blessings, but they're not the types of blessings that Jesus talks about in the Beatitudes. And I agree with Jennifer Rothschild that the blessed life is the God life. And what does that mean tangibly? What does that mean specifically?
Yeah.
Well, for one thing, it means communing with Jesus on a regular basis, having the Son of God through the power of the Spirit in our lives, redefining, you know, what the world says is not blessed, knowing, no, we have the treasures of Christ. And And so I think, you know, Jesus is also calling in the Sermon on the Mount a community to himself. So the blessed life also means to not be alone. And I think we are so isolated in our world, and especially coming off of a pandemic, but also even beyond that, even when we are busy and we are around people, so many live in a quiet loneliness. And I love that the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. And he's not talking about individuals here. He's talking about the collective body. We get in the Lord's Prayer, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. You know, give us our daily bread. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, right? So we get a very communal aspect. And I think that's the blessed life too, to not be alone and to be in the community of the fellowship of believers. That's one of the greatest gifts that we have as followers of Christ. So that is the blessing. I also think about the temporal blessings of our culture. We have so much that comes at us, and it's fun in the moment. It might be good, but here's the thing: if we don't have those things, we're constantly chasing them. And then once we get them, we are trying to protect them, right? We have our arms around the new things that we just bought or the new relationship, and we live in a place of fear and worry. And part of the blessed life that Jesus brings in Matthew chapter 6 is he says, you don't have to worry. You don't have, in fact, I'm telling you, don't worry, because you have a heavenly Father who takes care of you, who knows what you need, who is there as one who answers when you ask and you seek and you knock. So many dimensions to the blessed life. You know, there's so many pieces as my mind is kind of flitting about as I think about all the different passages, but those are just a few that I think are so, I think it's that enduring peace, that enduring hope, that enduring joy. Mm-hmm. We get all of that represented there in that sermon.
That's so good. I love that you mentioned just this theme of us and togetherness and all that. You read that, but then when you have someone else say it to you, you're like, oh my gosh, it's right in front of me. Like that's right there. And it's so funny, Miss Kelly. Like I did a little Instagram question box the other day, like ask me a question. And I get this question every time. And I want to ask you, you know, these girls are like, how do I find godly friends? How do I find godly community? You know, that may be in college, but I'm 23 and a couple years out of school. And a lot of girls that were Instagram friends, they're also going through that transitional post-grad life. And I get it. Like transitions are hard. You kind of have this moment where you're like, okay, I'm moving. Okay. We're pivoting and some things are coming with me and some things are not. Right, and sometimes that's people, places, and things. And so when it comes to finding that godly community, what encouragement or just like, here's what I did kind of things do you have?
Yeah. Well, I don't know that I'm going to have anything earth shattering. I mean, I'm always going to be a huge fan of the local church.
Yes, me too.
So I think I just don't know how else you find good Christian community outside of the local church. And I know that we live in a day and age where there's a lot of questioning of the local church. There's a lot of deconstructing. There's a lot of, you know, highlighting the hardships that are sometimes in the local church. And I understand that those are real. I also know that the goodness of the local church is real. And so I would just say finding a place that is a joyful place, that is an encouraging place, that also teaches God's word, and then getting involved. And you may not right away find your best friend or your future spouse, but that getting involved and serving is the way to meet people and to really make those lasting relationships. I think too, like even taking a trip overseas, like a mission trip, I've made some of my closest friends on mission. So that's another place, you know, maybe getting involved with a local nonprofit that is a Christ-based nonprofit where you know you're going to meet other believers. Joining a Bible study, local Bible study. I mean, that's just such a, you know, I don't want to say an easy way, but that's such a way that people, that where the table is spread and arms are open for you to get involved. So those would be a few of the, I guess, most obvious avenues that
tangible.
That
Yeah,
Yeah,
like the word
tangible. Yeah.
tangible of just like this is approachable. And I think basically what we're saying is put yourself in an environment to love and to be loved. And
Yes.
so I think you hit the nail on the head with there's this level of just going to church and letting it serve you, right? Just that
Right.
transactional of going every Sunday or whatever, but that extra step of serving.
Yep.
And that's truly, I feel like where you will receive the most is when you're giving, of just holding that door, the person on the other door holding it as people come in, that may be your new BFF. You don't know.
Yeah,
Like just
exactly.
go up and serve. And so I just love that. And so thank you for that encouragement. And Miss Kelly, I gotta tell you, so I came to Nashville to do music. That's why I came to school.
Oh, I didn't know this. So we're the same. We are the same here.
I know. And so I want to talk about that for a minute because I came to Nashville and, I grew up in church my whole life and I came to do songwriting. They had that major here in Middle Tennessee State University here. Didn't have
Awesome.
that in Arkansas. So yeehaw, I'm a Tennessee girl. And guess what? I never left. And I loved it, and songwriting's still a big part of my heart, but like I'm doing ministry. Like life is
Right.
just ministry, right? And so right now, music's kind of doing its thing, just ministering to myself, and I'm leading worship at church. But now I'm just podcasting and writing and doing all the things. And so I want to hear about your story, a little bit
Yeah.
about what your experience in the music industry, how it like brought you closer to the Lord, and did you ever think you'd be here? Like, tell me all the things, girl.
Absolutely. Well, I'll tell you. So I moved here 21, is that right? 21 years ago. Yeah, almost 22 years
Wow.
ago to Nashville. So I have lived a really good life here and a good amount of years. But I signed a record deal with Word Records way back in the day. And then I was over at another record company. And then I was over at another record company. So I spent about 7 or 8 years really trying to kind of hit it in the music business. And I don't know if this will make any sense to anybody, but I was always kind of like right around it, but I was never quite in it. So I was always like kind of at the party on the fringes, but never really fully on the inside, writing with people who were writing hits, but I wasn't really writing hits, on tour with the people who were really super successful, but I wasn't quite super successful, so it was that, and it was a number of years, and I will always look back at that, 7 or 8 year stretch as a time where God really, he really sanctified me and really purified the desires of my heart. Because when it got down to it, I think I was more in love with being successful, being famous, having a lot of accolades and achievements, making money, than I was about really testifying to Christ. And I was reminded of that just yesterday. I was in John chapter one, where John the Baptist says, "Look, I am not the light. I am the one testifying about the light." And I thought, oh, that's good, because I mean, even all these years later, still can struggle. I can still struggle with, wanting to be successful, wanting to have those certain achievements, and it was a good moment for me to say, okay, Lord, that's right. I am not the light. The point is not for people to see me as the light. The point is for me to testify about the light, Jesus. So that was part of my story. And then I was out on tour many years ago and ended up coming across a publisher at the time who was publishing, worked for a major publisher. And he asked if I'd be interested in writing a book. And I was like, gosh, I would love to one day, but I don't really know what I would write. And then he heard me give a small devotional at a Young Life. In fact, he had invited me to come give a devotional at a Young Life gathering in Colorado many, many years ago. And after I spoke, he was like, "That's a book." And I'm like, "What's a book?" And he's like, "Your message." Like, what? How can I turn a 25-minute message into a book? And then they had an editor that kind of helped me get started. And that was my first book, and that connected me to Lifeway. First book didn't sell any copies either, but it connected me to Lifeway. And then I started getting into Bible study writing. And next thing I knew, I was teaching the Bible. Now, I'd grown up in the church. My parents started a church the year before I was born. So I had a lot of good Bible teaching, loved the word, had done a lot of Bible studies growing up myself, and was excited about it, but had no idea that that would really overtake the music business. Maybe you're experiencing that too, Georgia, where you're finding success in other areas, but the music is still continuing. And
Oh
so,
yeah, that's it.
God has a, he has a plan. And I think That was a big part of my story, but just how God used it. He used that time to humble me and to prepare me for what I'm doing now.
Yeah. And to protect you. I really do.
That's a great word too.
But believe, like, even for both of us, I just, for so long, I had to lead worship from 12 up because they didn't have anybody else. And little old 12-year-old me got up there, they handed me a hymnal and they're like, "You're going to be the music leader." I'm like, "Okay." And so from 12 to 18, that's what I did. And so I had to grow up really quick. And so without even realizing it, doing for God became my identity. Mm-hmm. And instead of just being loved and loving from a place of love and serving from a place of love.
Absolutely.
And so even in college at the beginning, couple semesters, you got those gen eds and so you're not doing what you came there to do. And that can be a little frustrating. And so for so long, I thought the reason why my voice was created was just to sing, was that's what my voice was made for. And so I can see this in you too, of like, man, our voices are made for more. And the Lord wants to use all sides of that through writing Bible studies, writing books. And still, what I love about you is, I remember you came to New Vision Baptist here in Murfreesboro. And at the end of your message, you grabbed that guitar and you sang. And that you have the most beautiful voice. But what I love is the Lord got to be glorified through all of it, of like, hey, I'm going to bring the word. And then guess what? I'm also going to pray over you. But also, I'm going to just sing, because there is a song on your heart only you can sing. And your voice is special and important. And I'm just so grateful. And so as a young woman, also just navigating the blessed life, the Christian life, the Christ follower life, the young woman that still loves to sing life. Like,
yeah, I just that's great.
You, and I'm like, let's go. Like, we can do it together. And so I don't know who this is for, but sweet friends out there listening, like, God wants to use all of you, all sides of your voice. And it's just like a diamond, just kind of like the Sermon on the Mount. It just shines on every side that you look at it.
That's awesome. I love that. I love that. And it really is. It does shine when it's Christ living through us. And I think there's a dying to self. There is a dying to self. And so I want, those with us that to know, like, hey, if the Lord is crucifying a part of yourself, that's okay, because we need to die to ourselves. And that, and what does Jesus say? You know, when the seed falls into the ground and it dies, that's when it begins to sprout life. And so there is a death to self. And I think that I resist that process sometimes. And then when I realize, oh, wait, okay, Lord, hold on. You're putting me through this difficult time because you want to bring life. And so I'm not going to resist. I'm going to lean into this, you know? And I think that's really important for us to know, is that sometimes that, like what you were talking about, we want Christ to shine through us, but in order for him to shine through us, sometimes he has to remove some of the things in our life that are blocking that. And it feels like, oh, what are you doing, Lord? But really what he's doing is he's taking out something, that is keeping us from truly experiencing the blessed life that he has come to give us. And so we want to make sure that we're participating with him in that, because I think sometimes I'm very good at prolonging these experiences because I resist the Lord, and I'm trying not to do that in my later years here.
Yeah, no, that is so good. And I feel like too, there have been things in my life where I'm like, I don't want to let this go. I don't want to let this go. And then when I do, like, there was one season of the podcast, I didn't think the Lord was going to let me do the podcast again. And I was like, so sad. I was like, well, I guess it just has to die. And then guess what? Spring came, the podcast came back, and it came back better. But you know what? Because I was willing to lay it down, the Lord says, I can use this. I can use a soft and humble heart. And in those desires on your heart, like, who do you think put them there? Who do you think made that voice of yours? Who do you think gave you that idea to pursue that thing? It was me. But along the way, you had your little ideas, and they're great. But can you just come to me, and I will show you what's better? And you can lay down your best
there
for
you go.
What I have, which is better, and the blessed life, you know?
There you go. There you go. That's
tying
awesome.
It all into the blessed life.
That's awesome.
So good. So, so good. And so, okay, if you had to pick your favorite part from this devotional, what would it be?
That's a good question. Well, there's two sections of the devotional. So Ooh. It's 90 days, but the first, I think it's the first 59 days are on the Sermon on the Mount. And then Ooh. Days 60 through 90 are on the miracles of Jesus.
Yeah.
So I love the teachings of Jesus because they're so transformative. But I have to say, when I get into that, so Jesus goes, well, I'll back up. Jesus goes up the mountain, gives the Sermon on the Mount, does his teaching, comes down the mountain. And then we see him kind of enter the brokenness and the hardship of real life, where he heals Peter's mother-in-law, heals the Roman centurion servant, heals a leper and restores him to the community, stills the storms, casts out demons out of two demon-possessed men who were chained in a tomb or around a tomb, where he heals and forgives the paralytic, heals the bleeding woman and says, go in peace, your faith has made you whole. So you get into those stories and I just love it because we see everything that Jesus has been taught put in action. And then at the very end of that section, Jesus turns to his disciples and he turns to us and he says, okay, now it's your turn. I want you to pray that the Father will send laborers into the harvest field. In other words, I'm not short on ideas or on money, or the harvest field is not hurting. I'm short on laborers. I'm calling laborers. And so that's how the 90-day devotional kind of ends. And so I love that portion, just kind of getting into those stories and then recognizing that we have been called to follow him into the harvest field and to teach what he has taught us and to do what he has done. So I would say that's probably my favorite section.
Golly, I wish y'all could see Miss Kelly's smile and the way her eyes lit up when it's like, oh, this is my favorite part. And so I can't wait to get to that part. And you talk about this beauty of following Jesus down the mountain. Can we talk about just for a moment the importance of this imagery? Because here we have the Sermon on the Mount and all these people are hearing honestly what is blowing their minds because it's countercultural to everything that everybody in society has been telling them. And then here comes Jesus down from that. What can we take from this?
No, that's huge. I'm glad you asked that. So there's a few different things. For one thing is that the ancient original Jewish listener would have recognized what was happening here, because if you go way back into the Old Testament, where Moses goes up the mountain, gives the Ten Commandments,
then
comes down the mountain, and there's all that crazy, they've built the golden calf and all that kind of stuff. But so he goes up, gets the law, which is how Israel is going to live their best life, how they're going to live their blessed life, and comes down. And so people would see Jesus as the new Moses, the ultimate one who has come, but not notice that Jesus does not come down holding 10 commandments in stone, but he comes down as the fulfillment of the law. He will not smash the tablets like Moses had to smash them because of the sin of the people, but instead he will be crushed. He will be the one that will be the sacrifice. So there's a lot of symbolism in that. There is also just a practical beauty of going up the mountain and hearing from Jesus and then going back down into real life and living out what we have heard. So I think there's several things going on there, but I'm glad you asked that, because I love that, the significance there and the symbolism there.
Oh, that is so, so good. He's the cornerstone. Like, you're right. Like, he is the one. And it's just so amazing that he's so tangible and he can sympathize with us and our weakness. He knows. And he says, okay, I need laborers. And so I cannot wait to get to that part of the end of the devotional. And so I'm so excited for you in this beautiful journey that you are inviting us on, the blessed life. It comes out, y'all, this next Tuesday, the 7th of February. I am pumped. And so where can we find this book and learn more about all of your work?
Well, you can find the book anywhere you buy books. So,
I love that,
Amazon, Grace. At my website, Lifeway, wherever. Just to find out more, kellymentor.com, and there'll be information there about the Blessed Life and just other things that I'm doing and where I'll be this year. And so I'm so excited, and I hope this will be a great way to kind of start off your year.
Absolutely. Miss Kelly, thank you so much for your time today. And I just cannot wait to dive into this study. And 2023 is just going to be a blessed year as we live the blessed life of Jesus.
the way that he defines it. Absolutely.
Amen. That's right.
That's the thing.
That's right.
That's always the thing, right? It's like, you know, I always laugh because people are like, well, wait, what do you mean by the blessed life? And I'm like, I'm glad you asked. And we talked about that earlier because it's, man, it's not always because we have the best circumstances, but it's because he's with us and because of the promises that he gives us. And he can give us that joy and peace even in the middle of that. So Georgia, you are doing an awesome thing. And I'm so proud of you, so pumped for you that you are just a young voice doing a great, great work. And it's awesome. It's awesome to watch. And so thank you for having me today.
Girl, thank you. I'm so humbled to have this space for just faith and friends. Talk about our faith with our friends. And so, sweet friends, go follow Miss Kelly. Go get this devotional. And oh, man, as you get to fall in love with the heart of Jesus, I just pray that he would show you how to live the blessed life. I'll see you later, Miss Kelly.
All right. See you guys soon.
Lord God, thank you so much for inviting us into this journey with you. You open your arms stretched wide for us through Jesus on the cross who rose again. And God, you have told us and taught us everything that we need to live the blessed life because of Jesus. So God, thank you for Jesus. And God, I thank you so much for the way that you were using Miss Kelly Minter and this new devotional, God. And I just pray that this year would teach our friends how to just walk with you as they journey through the gospels that you have just shown us the way, the truth, the life, which is Jesus. All of it points up to you, Lord. So thank you for your goodness and your mercy that follows us all the days of our life. And I just thank you, Lord, for each and every friend that has listened to this conversation. And I pray that it leaves them better than they were before this time together. So Lord, thank you. And I just armor them up today, God, in the spirit. God, that they would have the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth, the shoes of gospel peace, the sword of the spirit, and the shield of faith, Lord God. You are so good and your mercies endureth forever, Father. We love you, and it's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. Friends, thanks so much for joining me in this conversation today. I'm so excited for all that February has in store for us, and I just pray that it would point you to Jesus. He is love. God is love. We love because he first loved us. And so, Lord, oh, Lord, you're so good. I just love him so much, and he loves you. And so, sweet friends, check out Miss Kelly's new devotional. All of her Bible studies are incredible, so trust me, you will be blessed. So I love y'all so much, and I will see you next week. And don't forget, there is a song on your heart only you can sing. Your voice is important.